Numbers 22, verse 34 for our text tonight. Numbers 22, verse 34.
Numbers 22, verse 34 reads this way. It says, "And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get thee back again." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, Lord, in your church, knowing that where two or three are gathered together, Lord, there are you in the midst. We thank you for your presence. We do ask for your blessing, Lord, and for the filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, and that we would hear from you, and we'll give you the praise for that. We ask that you build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. Empower our lives, Lord, to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And Lord, just help us to be a blessing to one another, to our family, and ultimately, Lord, to the world. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Blinded by Our Faith. Blinded by Our Faith. And so in our text tonight, we have an important warning to the believer of being headstrong and or maybe even in the flesh. Have you ever said, that person's headstrong? Or maybe you might say, I'm a little headstrong. Well, I think we're all a little headstrong. I think really that's the flesh, isn't it? Have you ever felt right about something and found out you were wrong? so right, and then find out that you're wrong. It ought to humble us, but naturally speaking, it doesn't humble us. We go back and we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again. But God says when salvation, when light has come in, it allows us to see our imperfection. Sometimes, you know, listen, the reason why life isn't perfect after salvation is because we're not perfect. It's the only reason. Listen, life would be perfect if we would be able to receive everything as from the Lord. There would be no complaints, no problem. In fact, we'd be asking, okay, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? And God would say, this is what I'm doing in your life. And we would go, oh, okay, I understand. That's perfectly fine. That's great. I accept your will in my life. But that's easier said than done. But God is in the business of not giving up on us. Aren't you glad? God is in the business of not giving up on us. But the more we can see that God never forsakes us, that truly we are in His hands, He can do a work with us. And so are we really the clay in the potter's hands that He wants us to be? And so I appreciate you all being here tonight. It is an encouragement to me, but I do want you to know this. It honors the Lord. And you know what the Bible says about those who honor God? God honors them. God is in the business of honoring those who honor them, especially, specifically, speaking about His children. And so tonight I want to just take a look at a couple of things. And I think they're words of caution tonight for the believer that we might be careful. But first of all, we want to see the work of Balak. We want to, secondly, take a brief look at Balaam's compromise of God's word. And then lastly, we'll look at the work of compromise fulfilled. Compromise in the life of a believer does perform a work that we need to be careful about. It does not draw us closer to the Lord. It actually hinders our walk, causes us to stumble, and for sure causes us not to bring glory to the honor of God. And also, it does not enhance our life or our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me turn your attention back here to verse 15, and I want to look at the work of Balak. Now, if you know much about Balak, he was the king of the Moabites, and you'll have to back up to the beginning of chapter 22 to see that. We're not going to do that tonight. But the work of Balak really is the work of compromise. The world is always trying to get us to compromise. Did you know that? The devil will get us to compromise. Do you remember when Moses told Pharaoh, listen, we have to go out into the wilderness and we have to go ahead. We're going to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And what did Pharaoh say? Oh, listen, you guys are idle. We're going to give you more work without straw. You're going to do the same amount of work. We're not going to give you the supplies. We're not going to give you the straw. And then finally, you know, the plagues come in and he says, okay. Only who's going to go? And Moses said, everybody is going. Oh, no, don't take the little ones. Don't take the leave them at home Don't bring them before the presence of the Lord. Don't worry about the next generation. Voila, here we are. Don't worry about the next generation. You ever hear people say, well, my parents made me go to church. I'm not making my kids go to church. You know what that really tells us? They didn't know the Lord. They did not. People that make that comment never knew the Lord. They may have had religion, but they missed God completely. Because it's an honor, it's a privilege. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here regret being saved? Yeah, of course not. Would anybody here not want their family to be saved? And of course the answer is yes, of course. Well, how, pray tell, are they going to get saved if they don't hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, we're not just making ourselves do things. We're worshiping a living God. The living God, right? And so there's compromise by the world. There's compromise by the devil. The devil will get us to compromise. Yea, hath God really said that? Did God really say that you can't do this and you can't do that? I mean, look, everybody's doing it. And then ultimately, the flesh will get you to compromise. Listen, you've been having a rough week today. You just need to indulge a little bit. You just need to go ahead and let loose and let go. The flesh will always get us to try to compromise. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit that we might not make these mistakes or fall into these sins, really, is what they are. But let's look at the work of Balak. Verse 15, it says, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more. He already tried. It didn't fail, but now he's going to send more honorable than the first ones, right? Than they. And they came to Balaam. This is Balak. This is the king of Moab, the Moabites. And he said unto them, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Now here's what you have to realize. If you're not familiar with this story here of Balak and Balaam, Balaam was not really a genuine prophet of the Lord, right? But God was talking, God was communicating with him. But here's what Balak was asking Balaam to do. Curse the people of God because they're multiplying. If you back up there in the beginning of chapter 22, you'll see that he was concerned about them because they were God was blessing them. That's a good place for God's people to be, in the place of God's blessings. And the world was concerned about that. And so much so that he said, I'm going to get this prophet here to curse the people of God. And you know what the problem with that is? What was God's promise to God's people? Was it a curse or was it a blessing? Will God ever deviate or compromise? Is God a God of promise? How many of his promises fall to the ground? Not one. How many of his promises have ever failed? Not a one. Not a one. So when we say God, we want you to curse God's people. Is that the will of God? It's not the will of God. So he blatantly knew that this was not the will of God, and he's going to go ahead and try to perform it. And why? He was looking out for himself. He was says, you know what? Listen. I've got to eat. I've got to pay my bills. And this man over here says, if I'll just curse God's people, I'll have what I need. But the Bible teaches that if we seek God first and his righteousness, that God will give us everything that we have need. David said, listen, I've been young and I've been old. How many times has he seen the seed of God begging bread? Let me try that again. David said he was young and now he's old. And he said something about how many times he saw the seed of God begging bread. Never. He never saw, never. How many times is never? That's never, right? He has never, not one time, seen. Now, let me ask you this question. Did David ever suffer difficulties, trials, and hardship in his life? And how does he have this testimony that he has never begged? He has never wanted for anything. But for sure, listen, it doesn't mean that we've not gone through difficulties and maybe some trials. But my goodness, we've never gone without as the people of God. There may have been some lean times, but those are the times that we say, Lord, you will give me what I need. And what I want is not always what I need. But you will supply everything. And the very fact that you are in this room tonight proves you've never starved to death. You may have said it, but you never died. Right? Kids, I'm starving to death. No, you're just waiting for your next meal. You don't know. Listen, it takes days. It takes some days. I dare say, if there was no illness, I don't know of anybody, unless they did it on purpose, gone for days without eating because they did not have any food. Now, it doesn't count if you were stranded somewhere, okay? But the fact that you're here, God didn't let you go, right? So that's a good thing. All right. So God is wanting to provide everything that we need, and Balak is trying to get Balaam to curse the people of God. So look at this temptation. He says in verse 16, they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest. And he had power, and he had, this is the temptation. He was giving Balaam an offering here, right? Now, the second thought that I want you to see here is Balaam's compromise of God's word. Look at verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak, listen to this, would give me his house full of silver and gold. Now, if he would give me everything that he has, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. That's true, but here's where he should have stopped. God's promise will God's word ever change? I'm afraid to say Balaam was thinking maybe it would. Because he's telling him here, this cannot be. And then notice what he does right here. Ready? Look at the bottom here of verse 18. He says, if he gave me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. I can only do what he wants. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Well, wait a minute. Do you have to ask God? Do you understand what's going on right here? He is self-deluded. He is so filled of himself. He says, I'm going to have this conversation with God, and then you might understand a little bit better why this whole scenario played out. God is pretty much done with this man. Because here's what he's saying, ready? I'm going to ask God if we can change what he has already said. That's what he's trying to do. So I want you to see how God answers a foolish prophet. Ready? Watch this. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam that night. Remember, he says, I need you to wait. I'm going to talk to God. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. So he says, okay, you wanted to negotiate? Okay, go with them and I'll tell you what to do. This guy's on a wild goose chase. God, listen, do you think God for one moment is going to curse his people that he has promised to bless? Why? Listen, the devil is deluding people into thinking that they can bargain with God. The world will already do that. They'll say, well, listen, the world will tell you this. You don't. Has anybody ever told you this? You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to do this for God. You don't have to do that for God. Well, what they don't understand is we want to do that for God. That's the big difference they don't understand. And God has asked us to do those things. And God is more important than the opinion of a human being. And so that's what's going on here. You have these two minds coming together that they think they're going to get God to change his word, and he's not going to do that. By the way, we won't change his word either. So let's look at the work of compromise here really fulfilled as we consider how Balaam was going to try to get God to compromise with his word. So God comes to him and he says, okay, if they come to you, then you can go with them. And Balaam rose up in the morning, verse 21, and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Is God going to bless his way? No. He's going to stop it. But you might misunderstand if you don't understand what's going on, and that is that Balaam is trying to bring a curse where God says, I'm going to bless. That will never happen. Listen, God says for anyone that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, they will they'll put their faith and trust in the finished work of the cross and the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have eternal life. Is God's word true? Do you think that anyone could ever say, God, listen, the next time somebody puts their faith in your son, will you curse them? Do you think God would ever do that? So this man here, and by the way, the redeemed, let me ask you this. How about this one? Listen, Lord, will you condemn at least 10% of the people that put their faith and trust in you? Can you surprise them when they stand before you and condemn them? Listen, anybody who seeks you on planet Earth on this side of eternity, as they pursue you, will you just go ahead and frustrate them and not bless them? Do you follow here what they're trying to do, what he's trying to do? But by the way, listen, what Balak is trying to do, and Balaam, who should know better, is compromising. And so it's all falling apart. God says, okay, when they come, go ahead and go. So let's see what happens very quickly. Ready? What you find here is God's anger. Look at verse 22. So, in fact, let's back up to verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning. And if you'll remember, God said to him, if the men come to call thee, he says, rise up and go with them. God said that, right? That's what I'm telling you. He's finished with this man. Because God's never going to change that. And so Balaam rises up in the morning in verse 21, saddles his ass, and he went with the princes of Moab. They were there. They came. They wanted him to curse the people of God, and they were going to give him whatever he wanted. And God's anger was kindled because he went. See, listen, it was spoken words. There was the temptation. But listen, when he was drawn away, when he thought for a moment it might take place, and put feet. See, listen, when we lust for things, our hearts, the Bible says, are drawn away, and then sin comes, and then death comes. And so this man, he's thinking, oh, this is all good. We're going to get God to change him, change what he's promised. So verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. But wait a minute. Didn't he just tell him to go? Well, of course he told him to go. Because it was ludicrous that he would even think and consider that he would change his blessings to a curse to his people. God's not going to change his word. So God's anger was kindled because he went. He put feet to his sin. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. That's pretty bad when the animals can see the truth and we can't. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. He's hemmed in, isn't he? There's nowhere to go. And when the ass saw that the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. The donkey said, I'll take care of him. And so the donkey gets hit again. And verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood near a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. So the donkey tries to run its foot into the wall. He still hits her. So you know what the donkey does? She just sits down. Right? You ever see those movies where they're trying to get a donkey to go? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, only because I'd never seen one in real life. But anyway, so he smites her with the staff. after she goes down on all fours. Verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And listen, Balaam is having a conversation with a donkey. How fitting. The Lord opened, verse 28, the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou smitest me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for I would now, would I kill thee? He would have killed his own donkey. Now listen to this reasoning here. And the ass said to Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Did you get that? The donkey said, have I ever done anything like this? He's never. He could not see something was wrong. Something was wrong. Did he have it? Listen, would you not find it peculiar? You're having a conversation and a donkey is talking to you. If the donkey doing its acting up like that, trying to stop him from going into this path, how about it talking to you? He is so far out of his mind, he's having a conversation with a donkey and not thinking it's strange. He's engaging this conversation. Would you not say, when did you learn to talk? So here's this conversation and here's this work that God is doing. And the bottom of verse 30, and Balaam says, nay, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because, listen, thy way is perverse before me. Your way is perverted before me. Is that amazing? His way is not holy. It's perverted. It's not good. It's not right. It's perverted. And the ass saw me and turned from thee these three times. Unless she had turned, listen to this, from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. If she didn't do what she did, fathom this, Balaam, I'd have killed you and saved her. I'd have prized, listen to what God's saying. I would have valued her life greater than yours. Because you are so far out of the way, you have perverted the ways of God. And so God says and reminds us tonight that we need to be careful how we stand and how we walk with the Lord. You know why? Because our God is a holy God and a righteous God. We need to be careful more than ever. Listen, does God love his people? Is he faithful to his people? And he'll never forsake his people. Is that not right? It's important that we say, oh God, show me how to walk, Lord. Show me how to walk. Listen, if God did, I want you to know, this is Balaam, but can I tell you, our human spirit is just as deaf, dumb, and blind as Balaam's spirit without God. We could be thinking, question, do you think he was, Balaam, do you think he thought he was doing God's errand? God told him to go, but God was judging him. Did you see that? There's a lot of people today thinking they're doing God's work that they're going to find out different one day. Listen, it's so important. That's why God says, those people that believe you can lose your salvation, don't bid them Godspeed. I don't think he'd have us not pray for them, but don't tell them that they're doing God's work when they are belittling and trampling the blood of Christ underfoot. It's important that we need to call holy what God calls holy, and we need to call unholy what God calls unholy. We cannot do that in our own strength. But listen, if there's ever been a time to call upon the Lord for guidance and wisdom on a daily basis, it's more now than ever before. Our world is getting darker by the moment, but that's okay. Do you know why? Because the darker it is, it doesn't take a lot of light to show people where to go. And God has given us all the light that we will need and that the world desperately needs. So tonight, God says, don't be blinded by the flesh. Do not compromise or negotiate what God has set in His Word. That's stronger than stone. Amen? That's unchanging, eternal. From eternity past to the present to eternity future, it will never change. Not one jot or one tittle. So, oh God, that we may be bold, that you might give us boldness. Isn't that what Paul prayed for? That we might have the boldness that's needed, right? To stand for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder. We ask for your blessings tonight as we break off for prayer. Lord, draw our hearts close to you, Lord, that we might walk with you in your ways and not ours, and do your will and your work, not ours. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.